And He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. It's not that He will be. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I hope He is your King. Hope He is your Lord this morning. If He's not, He can be before you leave this place. I promise you that. And I appreciate the good songs this morning. Take your Bibles with us this morning to Proverbs chapter 29 this morning. Proverbs chapter 29. And I've entitled today, the message here is A Vision Sunday. And I know we're closing out. This will be our last service like this for 2018. And Lord willing, God lets us live this a week from now. We'll be starting a new Sunday in the year 2019. And I know this is a time of reflection usually, a time of I'm going to do better, I'm going to do this, that kind of thing. And but I believe we got something to see here this morning about vision. And the Bible tells us a great truth here in Proverbs chapter 29. So if you found your place this morning, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to this precious book this morning. Proverbs chapter 29. You know, people today don't listen to a lot of things. YouTube is full of idiots. You know, the famous last words of a redneck is what? Watch this. And there's a lot of people do crazy things. You know, I've said before, people opened up a lot of presents and boxes are full of stickers of warnings. Don't do this. Don't do that. Those are there because somebody did that. And I can't imagine someone like, who would have ever done that? But somebody did that. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we're told. But God tells us something here in Proverbs chapter 29. You know, it's not about taking some kind of poison. It's not about some kind of thing you can do or shouldn't do. But He does give us a great truth here in Proverbs chapter 29 this morning. In verse number 18, this is what God tells His children this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Again, God says this morning to you and I, where there is no vision, and then notice the warning, the people perish. This morning, I really want to see Gospel Light Baptist Church really get a hold of a vision. Individually, I'd like to see you as a daddy, you as a mama, you as a young person, whoever you are this morning. I would really like for you to get a hold of this fact of you need a vision. And we're not talking about a vision of, ooh, a spooky vision. No, God tells us some things about vision that we'll see this morning. You know, the Bible says, but we see Jesus. That's the vision I want to see. And so we're going to look at this thought this morning about having a vision. So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated this morning. Father, we sure love you. God, thank you, Lord, for this precious book. Thank you for your truths. God, thank you, Lord, for wisdom this morning. God, I pray, God, that you'd search our hearts this morning, God. Lord, I pray for each individual this morning. I don't know the hearts of people. Lord, I don't even know my own heart this morning, God. But, Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us. God, I know, Lord, if your spirit would just work in our midst this morning, God, Lord, we'd see great things done. And Lord, I'm looking for great things. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, this would be a time of examination. Lord, I pray it'd be a time this morning of preparation. And God, I just ask you this morning, God, to help us to see the need of a vision. And God, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do here this morning. For us in your precious and holy name, we do pray and ask. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, the Bible says, where there is no vision. And I have to wonder this morning with that thought, you know, with the danger of what God says. God says if there's not a vision, the people are going to perish. It's not that they might perish. It's the Bible says they will perish. And the church, if you and I do not have a vision, we are going to perish. And I'm glad again this morning. And again, there's so many places that we can run with this morning. Listen, I'm not worried about the church. God's church will stand. Amen. I'm worried about people. I'm worried about the direction of some people are going. But I'm not worried about God's church this morning. I know that God's church is founded upon a rock, a solid rock, and that church will stand. Amen. And I'm glad I'm part of that church. It's not Gospel Light Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church, the church of the living God. But friend, this morning, I know that we have to draw it down to individual little places. And this morning, I'm thankful that I belong to a good church. Amen. I love our church. I do. I love you as an individual the best I know how. But listen, this morning, the Bible says if we as an individual or we as a church group here, a group of believers that have come together, if we do not have a vision, the people are going to perish. And friend, this morning, let me say, first of all, there are people all around this society, our world today, but let's draw it a little closer. There's people all over our country today. Let me draw it a little closer. There's people all throughout our state today. Let me draw it just a little more closer. There's people in our county, in our city, in our neighborhood, your neighbors, that are going to perish. That word perish is not a pretty word. A man that dies without God will perish. He'll be eternally separated from a living God. But you and I this morning that are saved, if we do not have a vision, we will perish. We'll fall away from the vine. We'll not have the substances that we need from our Lord and Savior. And I'm afraid in the day that we're living in that we've become so lax. And listen, I don't know who we're talking about. I'm talking to me this morning. But I want God to talk to you this morning. Again, it's a time of examination. It's a time of God, show me. This morning, I want to ask you this morning, have you lost your vision? Oh no, preacher, I can see fine. Really? Are you really able to have a vision this morning of what God intends for us as individual believers or us as a Bible-believing church? So we need a vision, but how and what kind? How do we get a vision and what kind of vision do we need? Well, I know this morning when it comes physically this morning and also spiritually, I believe many times when we think about a vision, we think about the future. And I'm a person of goals. I was taught as a young person that you ought to have some goals. And friend, this morning, each one of us needs something to live for. Amen? You need to put something in front of you. And I hope you'll be back tonight. Boy, I got on my mind what we're preaching tonight. And I want to say this morning, be back tonight because we're going to answer a question that everybody this morning needs to hear the answer. So you be back this evening for that. It's a great question that we're going to look at. But the future this morning, as we look into a new year, as we think about a vision, as we set some goals, as we look down the road, listen, I can tell you this morning, you ain't gonna look too far. Again, I'm all for goals. I'm all for putting some things in our sight. And as a church, as a group of believers, we need some things that look before us, some things that we can reach out to. And our direction ought to be that way. But this morning, we don't need a future vision. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. This morning when I look down throughout the future, I don't see real good. Do you? I don't know what tomorrow, I don't even know what today holds. I can't tell you what we're going to be doing this afternoon. I've got some ideas. I've got some things that I think I need to get done. But things can change on the fly. Things can happen in any moment. And I know, and we're going to look at it here in just a moment, I know that there's things, again, these young people, they've set some things in order. They're looking down the road about going to college maybe or what they want to do in their careers. And us as adults this morning, maybe we can set some things in our lives as a career or as a job or a health-wise, whatever it might be. But friend, this morning, all those things are good, but you really can't see how far. You know one thing this morning? You don't know how long you're going to live. We'll see a verse in James here in a moment that says, if it be the Lord's will. Again, I want to live just as long as God wants me to live, but I don't want to live any longer. But I don't know how long that's going to be. It might be 100. But it might not be 50. So the future, do we need a future vision? Again, the Bible says we're looking darkly through a dark glass right now. I can't really look down through the future and set some visions on, you know, well, in 2025, I'm going to be right here. I don't know where I'll be in 2025. I don't even know if there'll be a 2025. A vision. God says where there is no vision, the people perish. But as we think about a future vision, again, I'm thankful. As the Bible says, we're not dumb. We're not blind. We're looking darkly through a dark glass. You ever look through something? What is that? I'm terrible. Wherever they think, there they are. I lose them more than I have them on my head. Silas loves them, man. I have them in my pocket, and he likes to grab them and lick all over them, chew all over them, and then I put them on. I can't see nothing. But you know, that's sort of how a vision of future is in our lives. We look through those glasses darkly. Oh, I can see some things. I can know some things. But I don't really know the truths or how the ins and outs are going to be. Now, I'm thankful this morning when I think about a future, a vision of the future. I'm glad I know my future. Well, preacher, you just got set through saying you get no. Oh, I know the end result. Hey, I know that if I died, whenever that's going to be, and I'm going to die. I know my future, the vision of my future is heaven, amen? I know this morning because of Christ, not because of Baptist Church, not because of a preacher, not of anything that I did, but because of Calvary, as we sung a little bit ago, I have a future of heaven, amen? And I can look, and listen, even in that, I'm looking darkly. I don't, you know, and I like to think about it. I do. Every once in a while, I just get beside myself. I get to think about heaven. I get to think about all that God's done for me and what God's got prepared for me. And I get to thinking about what the Bible, and that's the only way I can know anything. What little bit God tells me about my future of heaven. Hey, I'm going to a place not built by man's hands. I'm going to a place, hey, the Bible says it's got a street of transparent gold. Hey, it tells me of that wall and that gate. Hey, it tells me there's a place of no more. No more seas, no more pains, no more heartache. None of those things. It tells me of all those things. But friend, even in that, it's still pretty dim. Oh, I like to think about it. And I like to talk about it. Hey, but friend, this morning, God says where there's no vision, the people perish. And friend, this morning, I can't get my eyes so set on heaven because that's already taken care of. Well, let me say this. There are some people this morning, your future don't look too good. Just as I know this morning, my future, the vision of my future is well because of heaven, because of Christ. There's people probably here this morning, your future don't look too good. The vision of your future, again, it's dim. I can't see all of what I know about it or what I've been told about it or what I even think about it. But just as I know this morning, I have a future vision of going to heaven. There's people as we sit here this morning that are dying and going to hell. There's somebody sitting here this morning, probably a good person. You're good to your family. You're good to your coworkers. You're good to your neighbors. You try to live a good life. But friend, when you die, you're not going to heaven. You're going to go to hell because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Your future don't look too good. Now, I know this morning my Bible tells me a little bit about heaven, but it tells me a little more about hell. You know, the Bible does say more about hell than it does heaven. But friend, this morning, your future vision, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to a terrible place. A place the Bible says of eternal fire. A place of agony. The gnashing of teeth. Oh, but what a terrible vision. But again, those things are darkly. I can't see much about it. Again, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. So again, it's not a future vision. Well, what about a past? You know, that's where a lot of people live. It amazes me the people that like to live in the past. Can I say this morning, you can't do one thing about your past. I know this morning our past is 2020. I can't see much forward, but I can see a lot backwards. Hey, I can remember things I wish I could forget. I've done a lot of things I wish I'd never done. My past don't look too good. I'm glad my future looks a lot better. But a lot of people like to live in the past. What they used to do and what they used to be and all those things. But, you know, again, there's not much to look in the past. You know, the Bible even says this about our past. Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." See, God says that
We need a vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. But I don't need a future vision. And God says I don't need a past vision because even Lot's wife found out about what looking back does. It does nothing good. So what kind of vision do we need this morning? The Bible says this in James chapter 4 in verse 14. Whereas you know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, our vision in the future is very darkly shadowed. Oh, again, I believe in goals. I believe in setting things out there, but I don't know. And God tells us here in James, if it be the Lord's will, I want to do those things. But he reminds us that our life is as a vapor. I can't look very far down in the future because I don't know how far this life is going to go in my life. I don't know how many days God's going to let me live. So what kind of future again, or what kind of vision do we need? God says if we don't have a vision, people perish. Again, we don't need a future vision. We don't need a past vision. So preacher, what kind of vision do we need? The Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse number 15. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him. And the key word is today. Well, preacher, I can't wait for the new year to come in. I'm gonna straighten some things out. I'm gonna get more physical. I'm gonna get more healthy. I'm gonna eat right. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. Oh, that sounds really good. But what if you don't get there? What if you don't make it till Tuesday? Is that right? That Tuesday? We're planning on ham, black-eyed peas, and collard greens. Is that right? I'll eat the ham and the black-eyed peas. Some of you young people are like, huh? I have no idea why they say that. But my grandma always had black-eyed peas, ham, and collard greens. That's the hope of a new year. But what if you don't live that long? God says we need a vision. If we don't have a vision, we're going to perish. So my question is, if I'm not supposed to look so far into the future because it's darkly, I can't see. And I don't need to look backwards because there's nothing I can do there. And God says we shouldn't look backwards. Then God says our vision must be for when? Today. This morning, God woke you up, some of you. And God gave you an opportunity to live today. Did you set forth today with some type of vision? What do you mean, preacher? Again, where there's no vision, the people perish. Again, it's good to have ambitions. It's good to look down the road. Again, let's not look back. I can't, well, I wish I'd have done this. And I, well, who, you can't change it. But friend, today, what is your vision when it comes to serving God? What is your vision today for giving your life unto the Lord? Friend, this morning, there are some things, and listen, I know, probably a majority of folks, you're gonna set out, I'm gonna read my Bible through this year. You said the same thing last year. You know how you get that done? You do it every day. You set a vision of every day of a need to be in this book. To read your Bible. Did you wake up today with the Word of God on your mind? Well, no, preacher, I'm coming to church. You're missing it. You're going to perish because you've not got a vision of today. I need the Bible today. I need prayer in my life today. Hey, I need a vision of being light and salt to this world because that's what God says I am. This morning, what kind of vision did you have today? What kind of vision did you set forth in your life for the honor and the glory of God this morning? Listen, we took up the offering a little bit ago. I believe in giving, I do. I believe God commands us to give. It's a joy to give. God loves a cheerful giver. But do you just give on Sunday?
Every day of my life, I should have a vision of giving myself unto the things of God. But friend, what happens is we lose our vision. And without that vision, you're perishing. You've lost your joy. You've lost your peace. You've lost that unction of why I live. That's the reason God says where there's no vision, the people perish. Did you have a vision of seeing God today? I did. Did you? So we see the need of a vision, but preacher, how do we do it? Again, it's not a vision of our past because, again, I don't like to look backwards, and God even tells us we shouldn't look backwards. There's nothing there to change. I can learn from my mistakes. I can learn from things that I did wrong, but I can't live there, and you can't live there. It's not the future that I need my vision because, again, those are dark things. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I believe in goals. I believe in putting some things out there, if it be the Lord's will. But right now, God is saying today is the day. Right now, we need to look and let God examine us of where we are in this thing of a vision for seeing God use us. But how? Take your Bibles real quickly this morning to the book of Nehemiah. I want to show you probably what I think is one of the greatest visionaries of the Bible. A man by the name of Nehemiah. How do you have a vision? I believe God shows us here in the life of Nehemiah how to have that vision. And again, preacher, do we need a vision? You do. Because the Bible says without it, you're going to perish. If you don't have a vision of seeing God working in your life, you're going to perish. If you don't have a vision of seeing God do something in your life, you're going to perish. Here in Nehemiah chapter 1, let me read a few verses to us real quickly this morning. I'll give you about five things on how to get that vision that we find here in the life of Nehemiah, that visionary. You know, I like being around people that are visionaries. People that see something that nobody else sees. I got to meet a guy. I went to school with him. And his daddy coached my baseball team for years. And his daddy worked for one of our major telephone companies. This is back, I'll be 50 years old this coming year. So that's been 35, 40 years ago. A lot of things have changed since, you know, back in those days. I still remember, as I said before, the party line. Our phones, you picked it up, and usually my neighbor was talking because I think she lived on it. Those were the days of the rotary phone, and my mom and daddy still has one. It takes you forever to dial a phone number. Y'all ever use one? For a dollar, I'll let you come use one. And you say you've done it. You know, in the last 20 years, and let's even go in the last 10, no, in the last 5, boy, how things have changed. Now we have voice over IP. What's that, preacher? Most of you don't even know you've got that, but a lot of you are talking through a phone that's using voice over IP. I don't know how that works. Most people don't. Things have changed so greatly. But this boy that I went to high school with, his daddy was a visionary. Back when we were still with party lines and rotary phones, he saw something coming. And he set off in a business venture, and today he's made a very lucrative business through the internet and different things in the world of voice over IP and different things because he had a vision of seeing things change and how things were changing. And I like people like that. They don't always work out the way they thought they would. Sometimes they fall flat on their face. But you know, this morning, that's sort of like you and I. Most of us this morning will never step out of the boat as Peter did because you're too comfortable in the boat. You'll never see the greatness of God. Well, Peter sunk. Yeah, but Peter walked on the water too, did you? Most of us will never see that power of God because you're not willing to step out of your boat. Preacher, I might fall. Preacher, I don't know what's out there. You trust in you or you trust in the Lord? I'm preaching to me. I want to have a vision. Why? Because if I don't, God says you're going to perish. Church, if we don't have a vision, we're going to perish. Here in Nehemiah, again, I believe, probably one of the greatest visionaries in our Bible. Let's look at him. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Cheslu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, they are in province, and are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though they were of you cast out unto uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now there are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power, and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, whose desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here we have Nehemiah, and again, we're going to see just for a moment some things about how he became this great visionary. I don't have time to go into it, but if you've been around the Bible much at all, you know what's happening here. You know that the children of Israel have been taken into captivity. We are told that Jerusalem is torn down. The gates have been burned. The walls are in destruction. We know that many of the children of Israel are in captivity. Some have been able to go back. Some are still living there in Jerusalem. Here we have Nehemiah. Nehemiah is there. He has been taken captive. He is working as a cupbearer to the king. One day, as he's doing his daily things, somebody comes in that he knows. Somebody that has gone and saw. He goes here to this individual and he says, tell me what you've seen. And he begins to tell him of what the condition is of the nation of Israel. He begins to tell him, Nehemiah, how bad the city is tore up. He tells him of how those that are in captivity, or those that are going back to Jerusalem, how they are hurting and are in distress. And then we see this great visionary kick in. Now, most people don't have a vision. Most people would look at that situation and say, well, I guess it's over for them. I'll just ride this thing out being the cupbearer. But not Nehemiah. Nehemiah does some things in these first 11 verses that set in order what the rest of the book of Nehemiah is about. Because of Nehemiah and his want of being a visionary and knowing that without a vision the people will perish, Nehemiah gets a vision of doing something for God and seeing God do something again for the nation of Israel. And because of him being that visionary, we know the rest of the story. How God allowed Nehemiah to go to the city of Jerusalem. How God let Nehemiah take those that were left and bring them together. And God took that little group of people, and we know how God, through that vision of Nehemiah and the power of God, how Nehemiah was willing and able and did see the walls of Jerusalem built again. How Nehemiah was able to see the gates put back in place. And God used Nehemiah to see Jerusalem come back together as a nation. So he had a vision.
Do you have a vision? Do you want to be a visionary? Let me give you about five things that I see here in the life of Nehemiah that will help you and I this morning be a visionary. Again, without a vision, God says you'll perish. Don't you want to be a visionary? Or you just want to flounder around through life, live, and die? Or do you want God to use you? You want to see God do something in your life? Well, preacher, I'll never be a Nehemiah. God didn't call you to be a Nehemiah. God called you to be you. What will you do for God today? Well, preacher, this coming year, I want to do this. That's wonderful. That's great if it be the Lord's will. But why don't you start today? You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's everybody. Maybe it's not. I don't know. How come we're always waiting till Monday to start something? I'm going to start that new diet Monday. If you're going to diet, won't you do it today? Start Monday, I'm going to exercise. If you're going to exercise, why don't you exercise today? Well, start Monday, I'm going to eat right. Well, maybe I'll eat right today. We're always pushing off what we say we're going to do to a different day, don't we? You know, tomorrow never comes. But God's giving you today. And God says we need a vision for today. Let me give you some things real quickly about Nehemiah that shows his great work as a visionary. First of all, we find his knowledge. Without a vision, people perish. Verse 2 tells us, Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the providence are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. See, Nehemiah, he needed knowledge. And with, you're not going to have a vision about doing something until you get knowledge. And we're studying the book of Proverbs, and that's where knowledge comes from. And I'm afraid many times we want to be like the ostrich and stick our head in the sand. We don't want to know anything, because if we know something, it'll bother you. Friend, if you're going to have a vision to do something for God, the first thing that I see in Nehemiah's life is that he had knowledge. And friend, this morning, do you not see? Do you not know? Hey, friend, this morning, just as Nehemiah was told the truth about the condition of Jerusalem and the walls and the people, this morning, you and I, we need to wake up. We need to smell the coffee. We need to understand that people are dying and going to hell. We need to realize the time is short. Hey, we need knowledge this morning that there's a job that must get done, and we can't wait till Monday. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. But why tarry? Why wait? See, Nehemiah had knowledge. And you'll never have a vision until you know there's something that needs to be done. This morning you need to ask God for knowledge. So Nehemiah was a man of vision because of his knowledge. Second of all, this morning I find in verse number 4, with that knowledge came something else. It says in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words. What words? The words of the destruction. The words of despair. He says, after I heard these words, then I sat down, and notice what happened, and wept and mourned certain days. See, with that knowledge brought a burden. And I believe with all my heart, from the pulpit to the last pew, that's something that's missing in our churches today. That's something that's missing in the lives of Christians today. Where is our burden this morning with that knowledge of people dying and going to hell? With the knowledge that people need to hear the truth? With the knowledge of knowing that if we don't go tell them, nobody will? Hey, friend, this morning, we ought to sit here this morning and ask God to burden us this morning to realize that somebody that we know is going to die and go to hell, somebody we shook hands with today, are on their way to a lake of fire. Friend, this morning, Nehemiah, after receiving that knowledge, was burdened to the place that he sat down and began to weep, not just for a moment, not just for a day, but for many days. Nehemiah sat there weeping over what was taking place. Where's the tears? We get so bent over shape Well, I ain't going back to that church. They didn't do what I wanted to do. Friend, you got your eyes on the wrong place. You're worried more about you than you are somebody dying and going to hell. Where's your burden? Where's the weeping? That little fellow right there, I love him to death. I think he loves me. But you know that little fellow right there? I'm praying for him. Why? Because if he lives to be old enough, and I don't know when that old enough is, but one of these days he's going to become accountable. And that little fellow there, he's going to die someday. And he's going to spend eternity somewhere. Don't wait to weep after they're dead. Nehemiah wept over the condition of the land of Jerusalem. Church this morning, where the people have no vision, they perish. Where's our vision this morning for today? Where's our heart this morning? Where's that knowledge of what God wants me to do and how He wants me to do it? What does it affect in my soul? Does it get us to the place that we're burdened? So I see the knowledge, I see the burden in Nehemiah's life, but also I see determination. Now I know this is an ugly word in 2018. It'll be an even worse word in 2019. It starts with the letter W. Work. How many people that I know are sitting back saying, well, I wish. They're waiting for something to come in through the mailbox. They're waiting for something just to pop out of a hat. Hey, friend, this morning, when God puts something on our heart, when God gives us a vision what to do on this day for His honor and His glory, when we get that burden down in the depths of our soul, hey, friend, there ought to be something inside of us that we're determined to see God use us. I love missionaries. I'm not the greatest of all characters to judge somebody. And I know, well, you're supposed to judge. You don't know your Bible either, but I can tell a lot about a missionary by just talking to them a little bit. If they're hungry, there's missionaries and moochinaries. I know that's not popular in our churches, but there's a lot of moochinaries. But a true missionary, they're out there working. Why? Because they've got knowledge of what God wants them to do. They've got a burden to get to where God wants them to be. And they're determined, whatever it takes, to see God use them. I see that in this visionary of Nehemiah. What do you mean? Look in verse 4 again. Came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and notice and fasted. That's determination. That's saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I don't know what you're going to do to make it happen. But God, I'm burdened over these people. I'm burdened over the nation of Israel. I'm burdened over the city of Jerusalem. And it made him weep. And he set out and he fasted not just one day. He fasted not just 2 days. But many days he went without food. He was determined to die to himself. He was determined to turn his life away from his luxuries and his wants and get his life to the place that he was able to do what God would have him do. This morning, that's where a lot of us lose out, is we were not determined. I'm going to exercise more this coming year. Hard to get out of bed and go run on a treadmill. Easier laying to bed, ain't it? Hard to get out of bed and go lift some weights. Easier laying to bed. Hard to get out of the bed and pray. It's easier laying to bed. It's hard to get out of the bed and read my Bible. It's easier just laying to bed. But we'll never see God work visions through us. First of all, until we have knowledge. Second of all, until we get a burden. Third of all, until we have some determination. Well, you can't do that. Who says? If God says you can do it, then do it. I see determination. Fourth of all, look there in verse 4 again. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. And then notice there and prayed. Where there's no vision, the people perish. It takes knowledge. It takes a burden. It takes determination.
But one of the greatest tools that God has given His children is prayer. Probably one of the greatest tools that nobody uses. Well, I pray when I'm in trouble. I pray if I need something. Nehemiah was a great visionary because he was determined. He fasted several days. But more than he fasted, he prayed for many days and many days and many days. Prayer. Verse 5 says, "And I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." Prayer equals power. Nehemiah prayed again for months. Note verse 11. He says, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant." Notice also, "and to the prayer of thy servants." Nehemiah not only caught a vision, but his vision caught other people. Nehemiah found knowledge, and with knowledge came a burden. With a burden came determination. With determination, he began to pray. And friends, you'll never see your visions come to pass if you don't bathe it in prayer. And Nehemiah began to fast, and Nehemiah began to pray. And because of his determination, because of his praying, it not only took him to that place, but it brought others into that place of prayer. Are you praying? Praying is a two-way street. Praying many times out of our seat is just talking to God. When's the last time you listened to God? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Not a future vision, not a past vision, but a vision for today. How? Through knowledge, through a burden, through determination, through prayer. And then last of all, and I'll say probably hardest of all, Nehemiah waited on the Lord. From the time we're found here in chapter 1 of Nehemiah, we're told there in verse number 1 that in the month of there midways of verse 1 of Cheslu, which is December. From December till chapter number 2, we're told verse 1 of chapter 2, and it came to pass in the month Nisan. That's April. From December to April, we find Nehemiah fasting and praying, fasting and praying, fasting and praying, waiting to see God do something. Many times I hear people say, "Lord, I need patience. Give it to me now." The reason a lot of people lose sight of their vision is because they're not willing to wait on God. The Bible says to be still and know that I am the Lord. Many times we get antsy. Many times we want to help God. Many times we want to do something now. And we lose our vision. But God says for us to wait. And we find here Nehemiah waiting. At this time, the wall in Jerusalem had already been down for 70 years. Nehemiah had probably been in the king's palace for over 20 years. And it's just now when God is going to set things in order to see this great vision come to pass. How long are you willing to wait? How long are you willing to work? How long are you willing to pray? How long are you willing to have a burden? If you'll wait on God, you'll see God do great things. I close with this thought. The Bible again says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Are you perishing today because you have no vision? What do you mean, preacher? Do you have any ambition to do anything for God? Are you just going to ride this thing out? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But you're missing everything. Well, I'm too old. Really? Look at Moses. Look at Aaron. Well, I'm too young. Really? Look at David. If you'll let God use you today, God will use you today. But you have to have a vision. A vision becomes with knowledge. Knowledge brings a burden. Burden brings determination in prayer. And all that equals wait on the Lord to see God do great things. It's not the future that I see. It's not the past that I look to. It's today. I close with this. Many people sitting in the pew today are waiting on somebody else to do something. Because of Nehemiah, God took one man that had a vision. And through the vision of one man and the power of God, we see God take a nation and put them on a wall and build a wall back and put the gates back in their place. All because one man had a vision. What do you mean, preacher? It might be you that God wants to bring a vision, and others will catch on and see God do great works. But where there's no vision, the people will perish. And if Nehemiah had not saw the vision and not had done the will of God, people would have perished. Today there's people perishing. It might be you. Why don't you let God do something for you this morning? Let's stand together this morning all over the building.